Well, the internet gives us infinite knowledge right at our fingertips. We can look up information about how to dunk a basketball or find a chocolate chip cookie recipe. But people can also look up things that are more sinister. Google searches are included in the evidence that resulted in charges against a Cohasset man who's accused of murdering his wife. In this edition of Tech Talk, we're diving into the search of your internet searches. And we're asking, are there privacy protections? Should search engines like Google notify police about potentially dangerous user queries? The Boston Globe's technology writer, Hiawatha Bray, is here with us. Welcome back to Radio
Boston. Glad to be here.
So in this case in Cohasset, 39-year-old Anna Walsh, missing. Mm-hmm. And this has made international news. Her husband, Brian Walsh, was charged with her murder. And during his arraignment, a list of his Google searches was mentioned by Norfolk prosecutor Lynn B. Land. And we're going to play a clip of her talking about these searches. I want to note for listeners that this includes details about an alleged violent crime that some might find disturbing. But here's prosecutor B. Land describing Brian Walsh's alleged Google searches.
At 4:55 a.m. on January 1st, he searched how long before a body starts to smell. At 4:58 a.m., how to stop a body from decomposing. At 5:20 a.m., he searched how to embalm a body.
We should say that the tape there from that arraignment is from WCVB. Hiawatha, were you surprised that these queries outlined by the prosecutor here and allegedly done by on one of Walsh's children's iPads. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that these were mentioned in court?
No, why not? I mean, this kind of evidence has become routine now in criminal cases. And this is an important thing. That's why we wanted to get into this story. We're trying to differentiate between what you can do in terms of an investigation after, for example, a homicide has occurred versus the idea that Google might conceivably see this coming immediately and immediately notify police that people are searching for creepy stuff. Now, we know that at least in theory, there is some capability to do that because these companies do constantly monitor what people are doing. That's part of their whole business model. And so people have asked, well, why don't they throw up red flags when people go around searching for stuff like how to build a bomb, how to make a Molotov cocktail, how to hide a body, and so on? Well, they don't. I've tried to get Google to go directly on the record with me to talk about this. And, you know, they just laid off 12,000 people. And I'm thinking that's why they have not returned any of my calls. But I did contact one of the other major search engines, Bing. And they're very forthright about this. We just don't do that. We do not constantly monitor the things people are searching for, which is not the same as saying that they don't keep track of it. What I mean is they're not doing this in real time. Mm-hmm. But if you have, for example, an account with Microsoft or an account with Google, all of those searches are being saved. Well, now, again, Google didn't get back to me on this. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that as far as I know, the searches are saved indefinitely. Mm-hmm. But the details that are used for identifying who made the searches, for example, Bing will keep the IP address, which is the digital address of the computer that made the search, for 6 months. After that, they discard that. But they keep the searches because this is vital to their business model. They analyze what people are searching for as a way of figuring out what they're interested in so they can send them advertisements so they can make a lot of money. They don't want to throw that stuff away.
Right.
But that's very different from saying that in the long run, they will necessarily remember every search that you have done. Although you can, for example, on Google, you could save your own search history on your own account if you want to do that. You can go to Google and see your search history going back quite a long way. I should check how long it is. But the point is, yes, they can go back in time, find your searches, and if the police get a subpoena or a search warrant, they can get that information from Google or Bing or any of these other companies.
So it's only with a warrant? Or how often are police asking for records of your internet?
Oh, it happens all the time. It's become a commonplace feature in criminal investigations because everybody does internet searches.
Hmm.
But the problem is you cannot go from so-and-so searched for something really scary and dangerous to let's put that person under arrest. You can't even get a warrant. I talked to a couple of legal experts and they said based only on somebody's internet searches, you probably couldn't even get a warrant because people search for crazy things all the time.
But how does that even then hold up as evidence?
Well, that's the point. It has to be in it has to be in combination with other information. By itself, you're right. That wouldn't, by itself, an internet search that you were looking for how to hide a dead body doesn't mean a blasted thing. You're absolutely right about that. Although, I wrote about this in my story, there was this amazing case in New York. A New York police detective. He somehow got, well, somehow, of course, he had the right to access the police department database. He went through the database, trolled these women that he found attractive who were in the database, and then he started doing Google searches to try to figure out what it would be like to, well, I don't think I should say what he wanted to do to these women. It was unbelievably awful.
Yeah.
And he just built up these files on his computer, partly built by doing Google searches about all the terrible things he wanted to do to these women. He was arrested. He was convicted of conspiracy to commit kidnapping. He served 21 months in prison. And then a judge looked at the whole case and threw it out. Why? Because he never harmed a soul. All he did was fantasize about it.
And his wife brought forward the search.
That's right. That's right. It was his wife who brought, that's right. And she, you can imagine why. She was terrified.
Right.
But it was appealed to a federal court. Federal court threw the case out. They said, this guy hasn't done a thing except fantasize. He did get a misdemeanor conviction for misusing the police database. But for committing any other crime? No. You need a lot more than a Google search to do it. Now, it's important to note, this is kind of different from what you see in social media. Because everybody knows that people who post things on Twitter that seem threatening or menacing can be kicked off of Twitter or kicked off of Facebook, which shows that they are monitoring. Those guys are monitoring people in real time or near real time. Mm. And as we know very well, if you use these, they don't catch everything. Sometimes really awful things do end up getting through. But if they are reported, they will quickly do something about, you know, like freezing the account, canceling the account, something like that. But there's a fundamental difference. When you write a message in Google, you're not talking to a human being. You're asking a computer a question. Mm-hmm. When you post stuff on Facebook or Twitter, you're talking to people. Mm-hmm. And you are creating a real risk that you're doing something. You might be wanting to do something bad.
And what about, you know, the privacy search engines like DuckDuckGo or something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah, if you were using a service like a DuckDuckGo, they wouldn't, they're supposedly, they don't keep records of what you're doing at all. So you've got that. There are other things you could do. For example, you could use a VPN, you know, a virtual private network. That fakes the IP address that you're using when you enter one of these services. So the IP address that they see is not the IP address of your actual computer. So there are definitely ways you can cover your tracks. But again, you know, just in and of itself, seeing that somebody posted a weird-looking search message on Google just isn't much evidence of anything. And so there's no way they're going to treat something like that automatically as something criminal.
What about these keyword searches?
You're talking about, well, that's a somewhat different matter and a really weird one. There have been cases in which, in fact, there's a case right now pending, I forget which court it's in, where somebody was, it's down in, is it Georgia, where a house got burned
down.
Colorado. House gets burned down, 5 people killed, absolutely horrible.
Right.
The police are trying to figure out who possibly had done this. And they were doing keyword searches to try to find out everybody who had searched for any information relating to the crime during a particular window of time. And Google has gone along with this, but there are courts that are now saying this is like a fishing expedition and we shouldn't allow it. What they did was they eventually found one of the 3 suspects that they currently got in prison or in jail for doing this. One of the 3 suspects on the day of, or I think the day before the house burned, did a Google search for information about that address. And that was the only person they found who matched any of the other information that they had. And it turned out, sure enough, one of the suspects had searched for information about the house that got burned on that day. But the defense attorneys are saying, that's just a fishing expedition. And a lot of people are arguing the keyword searches should not be allowed. The courts are eventually going to decide whether or not they can possibly do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to understand what we're talking about here. The police go to these guys and they say, we want you to tell us everybody who searched for the words X. I mean, everybody in all of, say, the United States, or everybody in the state of Georgia, maybe, or everybody in the city of Boston who searched for this word on this date. That's a pretty broad brush.
Right. What about those privacy policies that no one ever reads and just checks I accept? I mean, do they outline what can and can't be done with your searches, with your keywords? I mean, or is this new territory here?
No, this isn't really new territory because police have been getting this kind of information for a long time.
So we agree to...
Basically agreeing to do this. And you can exercise some measure of control. Like I said, if you have your own Google account, you can go in and tell it, delete all my search history. They don't actually delete the searches. They just disconnect your name from it so that they can't go back and find that it was you who did these searches. You can exercise some control over that. And as I've already given you other ways that you could do a Google search and cover your tracks. So there are ways to do it. But yeah, if you're doing any of these things on any of these online services, you're leaving behind all kinds of trails. And I would think by now every person in America knows that. So
do you see a future where, you know, search engine providers would be obligated to notify police of anything?
No way. I mean, that's the central problem here because I think, as we've already said,
I don't know.
There's just no practical way you can prove that someone has criminal intent just because they did a Google search for something awful. I've done that. You've done that.
Did you ever read Orwell? Come on.
Nah. Oh, look, there's a lot of stuff to be worried about here. Believe me. I just don't think this is one of them.
All right. Boston Globe technology writer Hiawatha Bray, thanks so much as always for being with us.
It's been fun. Okay.